This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 1.
I'm Art Packer. There is no Wes Durham. He is in Boston, en route. Jordan Cornett hanging out with us here in the basement. What's up, man? You doing all right?
It's good to be here, man. This is it's good to be back in the spot with the Hounds.
Hounds.
And with you, my friend.
You got always a pleasure. You are a busy man. Of course, you guys on ACC Network. We're streaming live on the ESPN app, not to mention Sirius XM Channel 371. So we got a ton of stuff to get into from the weekend. The game you're doing Saturday, I'm expecting Louisville fresh off of laying a flat one at Georgia Tech. Jordan Moore getting called out by his coach. I'm expecting Louisville come rolling into Tiger Town and go, you know what? What you saw in Atlanta, it's not who we are. We're going to show you what a top five team looks like. It's 18-5 Clemson, and I'm sitting there with my feet up listening to you going, well, what's going on here? Clemson played really well, but, man, I expected Louisville to respond. Didn't happen.
Yeah, and to me it was, again, the nonchalance when you get punched in the mouth. I do think that Louisville came out. It wasn't that they weren't ready to compete from the jump. That's not true. Clemson was laying for him, absolutely. But, you know, early there was 7 offensive rebounds from Louisville. They simply couldn't get the ball to go down. Now, credit a bend but don't break Clemson defense, absolutely. To me, without a doubt, the focus goes directly, like most, to Jordan Wara. You know, this is a guy that did not get the start in favor of Samuel Williamson. Clearly, Coach Mack wanted to send a message, a delicate one, but a message, because he still got his minutes. And Jordan Wara came out there and played disinterested basketball, lacked an edge, early 2-3 turnovers that Clemson was able to capitalize going the other way with, and that set the tone. It starts with the head of the snake being locked in, jersey number 33. He just was not.
And what about the Tigers now? That's their second win against an AP top five team. They knocked off Duke and Lil' John. They knocked off Louisville. You know, they've beaten Syracuse. They've won at North Carolina for the first time ever. It's been kind of an interesting year for Brad Brunell's guys. They've had some amazing ups. Now, granted, they've also had some downs. That's why they're nowhere to be found even on the fringe here about making the tournament. But their effort Saturday was out of sight. They really played well, and the crowd was totally into it.
Well, you know, during that stretch, that three-game stretch, which really had everybody taking attention to Clemson, when they knocked off NC State, they beat Carolina, then they beat Duke. During that stretch, John Newman notched double figures in all three of those games. John Newman was incredible in this matchup, Pack, with how he guarded Jordan Wara. Defensively, that's not talked about enough. He was a big part of why Jordan Wara couldn't get going, never got going. Then on the other side, you know, he's getting in passing lanes, translating that into offense, going the other way. He's knocking down big-time threes. He's driving the basketball. He's making the right pass. He truly set the tone. And then the next guy you look at, it's not Amir Sims, who played okay. It's Tevin Mack. Mm-hmm. And in two of their other biggest wins, the Syracuse game, the guy was unbelievable at 32 points. It was big in that Duke game with 22 of his own. Tevin Mack played well to go alongside John Newman. And then you start to see balance with the Tigers team that you're not quite used to seeing all season long. And it's the confidence in which they play at home. They just shoot it better there. The crowd was great. Pack, you saw them take the floor at the end of the game, storm the court, which I always love. I don't care who you beat. If it feels like a big win, go ahead and do it. But that crowd, they definitely were fueled by it.
The only thing I did not like with the crowd was the overrated chant. That's one of the dumbest chants in sports.
Why don't you like it regard?
I'm going to tell you why I don't like it in any regard.
Okay, hit me.
Because if you're beating somebody of note, which was the case here, by ragging the fact that you're now telling them, hey, you're not very good, you're diminishing your accomplishment. I mean, come on.
But don't you appreciate self-awareness? Like, we know we're not good. So why are we beating you? That means you're overrated.
Well, I don't know.
That kind of respects some self-awareness.
I'm not buying that. I just know this, that Clemson really played well. And Louisville now, hey, you know, I would be the first one to tell you, last week we had the question about who did you like the best of the big three between Florida State, Louisville, and Duke. And everybody jumped on Duke. And I was like, you know, I know Louisville didn't play well at Georgia Tech, but I just expected them to respond.
Well, I had to.
That's what big-time teams do. Hey, you know what? You're allowed a bump in the road. But normally the response is when you really see, hey, you know what? They're ticked off. I didn't get that at all. Sorry.
And I think that's the biggest issue. You know, you drop the one to Georgia Tech, you won 10 in a row. It's the middle of February. Georgia Tech's got an incredibly talented first five. Jose Alvarado came to play. It wasn't your night shooting the basketball. Right. You got to find ways, though, to win those games. You didn't. Fine. I actually had Georgia Tech winning that game going into it. I said it at the desk, sitting there with Kelsey Riggs and Malcolm Huckabee. They're like, what are you talking about? I said, just watch. But for that kind of performance, Pack, absolutely what you're saying, this is what's concerning to me with Louisville and their intestinal fortitude. The last time they lost two in a row. Mm-hmm. They lose here, they don't respond winning the next game. Championship teams play with that edge. They're angry from what happened in Atlanta versus Georgia.
Almost enjoy the pain of, hey, listen, now we really get a chance to showcase
who's
what we do.
The alpha in the locker room during turbulent times at a huddle in a game? They do not have that, and that's something Coach Chris Mack, who's one of the top five coaches in the country, in my opinion, has to find a way to figure out.
And that's where you were expecting Jordan Ward coming off a lousy game. Team loses on the road. Coach called you out. Tag, you're it. And he ends up scoring his first point with 3 minutes and 29 seconds to go in a game that was over. And it was almost like, where did these guys disappear?
And not to mention, to start that game, those turnovers, live ball turnovers that Clemson capitalized off of, dug them in a deeper hole. Yeah. So when Jordan Ward comes into the game, when we were bracing him to score 30 points, he turns it over a few times, and it goes the other way for baskets, and he never got back into it from there. So as I'm looking at this Louisville team, one that I've been high on since the beginning of the year, I still have great faith that they can figure it out. But what are you going to do when you're not knocking down shots? How are you going to get some easy ones, some runouts, get it to your star in a position where he can succeed? Rebound, defend, do the other things that can get you back into it. Because as I look at Louisville right now, it's a real head-scratcher. We're sending our nothing but net crew down there for that Syracuse-Louisville game this week. And I'll tell you what, Syracuse has enough in the tank to make this a three-game losing streak if Louisville ain't ready to play.
Well, we'll get to Syracuse because their game with Florida State was a thriller. Speaking of thrillers, Notre Dame we'll get to in a second with Duke. But how about Virginia-North Carolina? It was a game Virginia. We talked about this last week. Scary game for the Hoos. North Carolina coming off an awful effort against Wake Forest. You saw it. You figured that, hey, you know what? They're going to give you something, right? Kind of like we just talked about with Louisville. You come off a lousy performance. Good teams figure out a way to, hey, we're going to bounce back and give you something. This was a fist fight. It was a rock fight. It's a low-scoring, defensive-minded game. No surprise when you got Virginia. And North Carolina makes three big free throws at the end. You're thinking, man, maybe they're finally going to win.
Christian Keeling, too, who's been a revelation as of late for this team, right?
No doubt. And you're thinking North Carolina is finally going to figure out a way to win a close game late. And then you get the last possession with Virginia, which was nothing short of being brilliant.
Look, I know a lot of people aren't going to feel sorry for North Carolina in ACC country. Not with the success they've had, not with the talent they've had. A lot of people are enjoying watching this team take their lumps. I am not one of them. I feel for these kids. It's been an up and down season. Some guys haven't been who Carolina fans thought that those guys would be. They've dealt with a lot of injury this year, which without a doubt has had an impact on this squad. Look, I think Brandon Robinson not being in the lineup clearly hurts this team. Cole Anthony has been somewhat of a distraction, and I'm not saying this against him. This is no knock on Cole Anthony. Cole Anthony has been very impressive at times. It stretches. Other times struggle mightily. The fact that he wanted to come back and play with those guys is commendable, speaks to his character. It's been disruptive in terms of this was a team at one point that had great momentum after they beat NC State on the road. Probably their most dominant performance of the season. Garrison Brooks was really being established and featured at that point. Armando Bacot was a very nice supplemental piece alongside their current star at that point in time in Garrison Brooks. Cole Anthony comes back. Garrison Brooks forgets where he gets his from. The interior no longer becomes the spotlight of the team. It becomes a lot of watching Cole Anthony because of the type of talent he is. They haven't won since he's been back in that lineup.
Amazing.
And Virginia, thankfully for the conference, gets that win. If they lose to that team, this ain't the North Carolina. This ain't your granddaddy's North Carolina, everybody. You lose that game, we're looking at three teams in the tournament today when we're talking. Because you're losing to a last-place team in conference. So Virginia did what was necessary, Pack, and that's huge.
The game winner, Wilton-sized shot, the fact he played with such confidence, right? I mean, the pump fake was brilliant. I mean, here's the clock ticking down. Crowd's going nuts. You're now behind. You got to make a play. Never panicked, did he? Caught it, pump fake, got a guy out of position. Let me load up a three. Good night. See you later. Really impressive.
I mean, what he's been able to give this team, and look, it hasn't been consistent. Game before this versus Notre Dame in the overtime win, he only had 5 points. Game before that, though, a loss at Louisville, which was a tight one, he had 27. This guy was a guy you could leave on the wing and play off of because his shot was in such disarray, much like the rest of that perimeter, that it was a very easy Virginia team to guard. Mamadi Diakite was fielding triple teams. There was no way to alleviate the pressure to kick out to any shooters because they didn't have one. Walton Tensai's ability to knock down shots. Virginia hit 9 threes. If you give Virginia the ability to knock down 9 threes coupled with what their defense is and the pace that they play with, they're going to beat some teams. And look, I know this is just North Carolina, the Sellar team, but it's a road win in conference versus a team that is still dangerous despite how bad they've been. This is a huge win for Virginia in a different way than I think people think.
Man, a lot. So what do you do if you're North Carolina? Right? I mean, we've reached the point now, it's the middle of February. We got 5 or 6 games left. The Heels play tonight against Notre Dame on the road. Can they fight themselves out of the 15 spot? Which is, I can't even believe I'm asking you that question, but that's where we are with North Carolina basketball.
Pack, I said this to you once, I'll say it again. Is there a more dangerous last place team in any conference? In the history of the ACC,
I don't believe that's something you want to be talking to your friends about. Man, we are the most dangerous 15th place team in America. I don't think folks are real excited about that.
The one you don't want to fight in a bar is the one with nothing to lose. Now, I don't endorse violence, but all I'm saying is North Carolina is going to come into Greensboro with nothing to lose. And I think there'll be a different kind of focus because it's postseason basketball. If this team wins a couple games in the conference tournament, that wouldn't surprise me. Do they have enough to get all the way to the finals? Of course they do. I mean, look, they missed 17 free throws, turned it over 18 times, and almost beat Duke twice in the game.
They have found ways to lose games.
But they've got the talent to be in them. So this is not a team. I mean, Pack, they got the talent to be in them.
They've got players. I mean, you don't listen, Roy Williams recruits dudes that have North Carolina on the jersey. They're not recruiting Mark Packer. They're recruiting dudes now.
But some of those dudes haven't been the dudes that you expected, and that's why they are where they are. But some of those guys started to figure it out. Christian Keeling's starting to figure it out a little bit. Garrison Brooks is one of the best players in this conference. Armando Bacot's going to be a first-round draft pick,
Robinson
whenever it happens.
Needs to be back.
They need the stability at the point guard position. It's a domino effect. Yeah. Everything else falls into place. And if Brandon Robinson comes back, then who knows? But for this North Carolina team, I still wouldn't want to play them in the postseason. And that postseason, the only one they're talking about is the ACC tournament, obviously, right now, because that's the only thing in front of them. There's no NIT right now. Surely no NCAA.
Notre Dame gets them tonight. Irish are fresh off getting beat by 34 at Duke.
Same old song there in Cameron for the Irish.
Ooh, no, man, Duke was out of sight. We'll get to that game in a second. But just quickly, North Carolina, Notre Dame tonight. Both of them coming off games. At North Carolina, another gut wrencher. Notre Dame finally off the road. 3 games, 7 days on the road. It's tough. Now it's a quick turnaround at home against a wounded North Carolina team. What happened tonight?
See, that's really interesting because you take the lumps you did on the road and it's such a quick turnaround and not really get in the lab and make improvements. Notre Dame shoots it well at home, though. North Carolina is really down after another emotional loss. I expect Notre Dame to knock down shots, get back to double-figure threes, better play from their perimeter, who struggled mightily. When Durham and Mooney are your leading scorers, no Notre Dame team is going to win games when their best offensive threats are in the interior. It's just not who they are.
Real quick before we go to break, Garrison Brooks was upset. You can imagine. I mean, this is a team with high expectations. They've now lost 5 straight to start February, much like they did January, where they got off to a terrible start. And so Garrison Brooks was responding to some folks who have been not necessarily the kindest of people on social media. Surprise, surprise. And you can read his quote right here. He basically said, "I just don't care about those people. I care about the guys in our locker room. They can say whatever. But at the end of the day, none of those guys will say that to me, Playtech, or anybody else." And he's right. I mean, you know, these guys have now got to huddle around in that locker room, and outside noise becomes nothing more than outside noise.
Yeah, and that's the ugly part of social media. Grown folk coming at 18 to 22-year-old kids because the team they root for isn't getting it done. Oh, look, I've been in that position. I'm still in that position as a broadcaster. I get tons of hate on there. You got to block that stuff out, and you got to focus on, look, Garrison Brooks, you're achieving what a lot of people only dream of. You're playing for North Carolina in the best conference of basketball, the ACC, and you're one of the best players in it. All you can do is worry about the guys in your locker room, band together, continue to go out there and play, and best represent the university. And I'll tell you what, Garrison Brooks has absolutely been that during this chaotic season. And I knew that guy was real when I saw him in a Bo Jackson throwback Raiders jersey before one of the games earlier this year. I said, oh, yeah, that guy's real.
We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. Seems like a great kid. And been playing well for the most part when he gets touches.
It's been a back and forth of trying to figure out balance between him and Cole Anthony. And I think they've achieved that here as of late. But in those first few games, it was really, really difficult to watch because you knew where the advantage was. And the touches just simply weren't there for Brooks.
All right, we're going to go through the rest of the league. There's so much that happened this weekend, from lacrosse to baseball to softball, wrestling. We'll get into all that stuff. We'll take your phone calls, too, at 844-SAY-ACCN. But when we return, the rest of the weekend, including a crazy game with NC State and BC last night. We mentioned Duke, Notre Dame. We'll get into all that. Florida State holds off Syracuse. We will span the glob, which is crazier than ever. When we return, Packer and Durham, Jordan Cornett filling in for Wes. Guys, right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
We have so much to cover. Let's go through some of the other games of the weekend. Duke now in position, in control, after a destruction of Notre Dame. Their fifth win in the ACC
what's
30 or more.
Destruction of Notre Dame.
This is an assist to my Notre Dame brethren over here. But Duke really looked good. I mean, when their starter shoots 62%, good night. Catch you later.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody's talking about there's a lot of parity in college basketball. Duke is slowly starting to separate themselves from the pack a little bit here. No pun intended. A lot of talent on this roster. The way this team really got into Notre Dame, it's because they've got the player of the year in the conference on their team. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. The player of the year in the conference on their team, because Jordan Wara has taken himself out of that conversation. Vernon Carey is an absolute stud. And when you get an opportunity to have a guy like that who demands so much attention on the inside and allows the rest of the pieces around them to shine, it's just a Notre Dame team that was completely overwhelmed, cannot get off anything from the perimeter. It speaks to the defensive intensity of these guards as well with this Duke squad. I mean, this was a Notre Dame team that was playing on their back heel the entire time.
Gibbs, Pfluger, nothing. Zip.
Absolutely nothing.
Nada. 0 for 13.
Your leaders. Those guys are the ones you look for, and you go, okay, we got to try and figure this out on the road. Mm-hmm. Non-factors. It's because those guys, those guards, can guard. Wendell Moore can guard. Cassius Staley. Trey Jones, best defender in the conference, arguably. And then Jordan Goldwire gives you no respite as that backup guard. This is a tough team.
Yep, playing good basketball, needless to say. Syracuse had a golden opportunity.
Oof.
At Florida State, where the Noles never lose. They're now 62-3, I think, their last 65. Crazy good. Devin Vassell doesn't play. Again, I'm still waiting for that answer and explanation. We'll figure that thing out later on.
I've been digging and
I don't heard anything.
Very mum right now on a situation. I can tell you this. He's one of the best young men in terms of class and the way he carries himself. So I can't imagine it's anything, hopefully not really bad. But well, Coach is going to protect his guys. I'm sure we'll get an answer on that. But to play without him and get that win is huge, Pat.
Syracuse knew going into it at Florida State, at Louisville, really almost in a must-win situation to grab two on the road against really good clubs. And they had a chance Saturday in Tallahassee. Could not close the deal. Buddy Boeheim, zip. I mean, it's amazing how many zeros we had from really big-time players this week. Where does Syracuse go now? I mean, they're really backs against the wall here.
Yeah, truly, truly backs against the wall. Louisville provides them a great opportunity this week on the road to get back into this thing, but opportunity is dwindling, no question. Buddy Boeheim picked the wrong day to go ice cold. Florida State did a good job of taking away the three-point line from the Cuse, something that's so big to their offensive operation. A lot of credit to Elijah Hughes. Wasn't even sure if he'd go in this one and was lights out, 10-20, finishing with 25 points. It's just a team that's not very tough defensively and can't get the stops you need on that back line and that matchup zone that has been so vaunted historically over the years. So I look at Florida State, though. No Devin Vassell. But when you're that deep, Pack,
next man up.
Doesn't really matter. I mean, you've got guys. I mean, I'm looking at the box score. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The guys that score, there's 11 scorers in this game. 2, 4, 5, 10 scorers in this game that provided decent scoring.
You know what else they do? When they lose a game, they bounce back with a W. Kind of like what we talked about with Louisville. Why that didn't happen on Saturday. Hey, when you're one of these kind of teams and you get beat, hey, you get ticked. It's like, hey, let's go prove something.
And that is why it's at its peak of frustration with a team like Louisville. in correspondence with what Florida State's been able to do. Because these teams are so deep, Pac, it's not that you're just relying on Jordan Ware for Louisville to get right. It's not like Florida State is only reliable on Devin Vassell to get right. No, you go 10 deep. So that's 9 other guys that can step up and make things happen. That's what happened with Florida State. That's why they won that game. What's the excuse for Louisville? Okay, so Jordan Ware doesn't have it right now. There's 9 other guys capable of giving you 20 points any given night that have laid down as well. So I don't want to go too far to Louisville, but the one thing I'll say is I would consider starting David Johnson. He's your best player. He's your most talented guy.
Offensive-minded, going to score.
He's got some growing pains defensively because he's young and gets out of place, but if you really want to get out going early, you see how he finishes games when he finds his rhythm? Why not have him punch you in the mouth at the start of the game? Feature him now until Jordan Warren wants to decide, hey, I'm going to bring my hard hat and go to work here.
Some other games of note. We'll go through everybody, so just hang tight. Virginia Tech finally got back to their winning ways. They had lost, they beat North Carolina January 22nd, hadn't won a game since. Had to finally hold serve at home. They do. They knock off a Pittsburgh team. And Pitt had a lousy week. Let's be honest, too. They get smacked at home by Clemson. Xavier Johnson, basically, coach had enough, said, we're going to put some guys out there who want to play. And the Hokies take care of business. And, we talk about the glob, right, all the time. The ebb and flow of the glob. Virginia Tech kind of disappears off the radar for almost 3 weeks. Yeah. But now they get a W. Look at the rest of the schedule. Hey, they got some winnable games coming down the stretch. You kind of wonder what's going to happen to Pittsburgh, though, moving forward.
Well, yeah, I mean, P.J. Horn was big for this team without question. It's just it's a matter of the three-point line with Virginia Tech. It's something that, because there's been changeover, Mike Young, it's clear what his ideals are. There's so much youth on this Virginia Tech team and reason to believe that they've got a bright road ahead. But 12 of 32 from the three-point line, that was huge for a team that doesn't give it away a lot, only 10 turnovers in a game. They were able to find some balance. Jalen Cohn has continued to be a really bright spot, another one of those youngsters with a bright future. Mike Young's got a lot in place with this team. But for Pittsburgh, clearly frustrations with Johnson and Coach Capel trying to figure that out. But another program that I'm very high on, I mean, Champagne is going to be a flat-out star in this league. I mean, just the athleticism, the lefty, the length, versatility. There's more guys like that coming with Coach Capel's squad. So looking at both these teams, there's been measured success this year. Mm-hmm. So I think that people want more naturally. But it's coming in the future, and I think that's reason to be high on them.
Glob special is what that is. Miami knocks off Wake Forest. Finally, the Canes are getting healthy. And you know what? They're a dangerous team when they're healthy.
I'm going to shout out another freshman. How about the emergence of Isaiah Wong for that team? Just continuing to notch double figures. But with McGusty coming back and Likes coming back, it's been huge. I mean, Keith Stone healthy. Rodney Miller not missing a game. Pieces coming together for a team. Let's not forget, went to Illinois on the road, a team contending for a Big Ten championship, and got that win because all those pieces were in place. Much like North Carolina, when I look at Miami, you say, what could have been if they were consistently healthy? Now, look, there's been enough on the floor to perform better than they have at times. But Miami, there's a lot to like when you've got, DJ Vasilevich on the outside. Chris likes the ability to break down anybody. Cameron McGusty is a glue guy that can score it as well. With decent interior pieces, Keith Stone, another one of those glue guys. That's a nice 5-6-man roster, especially with how Wong is really coming to his own here. So it's just unfortunate because Miami has been so unhealthy and their schedule has been unforgiving.
Before we go to break, I do want to switch gears quickly. There were some serious upsets. There's some crazy scores on the ladies' side of the ledger this weekend, and that included Georgia Tech knocking off NC State. Now, we'll talk to Nell Fortner later on in the program. You know she'll be fired up. You almost wonder if NC State got beat twice by Louisville. They had the big matchup on Thursday night in Raleigh. Louisville comes here, takes care of business, but a huge win for Georgia Tech. They knock off the fourth-ranked team in the country in NC State, 65-61. Second straight loss for the Wolfpack after a 22-1 start. And Georgia Tech, by the way, snaps a 38-game losing streak against AP top 10 teams.
They lost 6 of their last 8 games. I mean, that's a big response on a team that is very well could get to the Final Four. I mean, the defensive effort is what stuck out to me in this one, and they were able to build a big lead and never look back.
As you saw the scores real quick, Duke also knocked off Florida State, and for the Blue Devils, they snapped a 13-game losing streak against ranked teams. So some really, really surprising scores on the ladies' side. Louisville now with a one-game lead over NC State coming down the stretch. And by the way, speaking of, our next Thursday night, count it, Thursday night women's basketball doubleheader has Syracuse hosting Clemson at the Dome at 6 Eastern, and then the Wolfpack. They're in Coral Gables to take on Miami. The Pack, again, in a race with Louisville. Coming down the stretch, they're one game back. Both games are right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. So doubleheader women's basketball Thursday night right here on the network. All right, when we come back, oh, we always do this every Monday. It's the best of and the worst of. We will start with the good. The best of the weekend is coming up next. Packer and Durham, Jordan Cornett filling in for Wes. You guys here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app and SiriusXM channel 371. Packer and Durham without Durham. Jordan Cornett hanging out. Wes, of course, was busy last night as Boston College knocked off NC State. We'll give you a little highlights of that game before we get to the best of the weekend. Man alive, the bubble teams, Virginia survives North Carolina. Syracuse had a chance, couldn't get the job done at Florida State. And NC State, in a prime position, just cannot afford to lose a game like they did last night.
Just put together a good three-game stretch. Like, as important as it is right now, look, I know Boston College has been a team that can be dangerous at times, most especially when Derek Thornton is shining. But yet still, with what's on the line, you got to have that one. You got to have it, and it starts with your senior point guard, who coming back had everyone believing why NC State would be so dangerous. Markel Johnson was dreadful in this game, and that was one of the big storylines.
The end of the game, I know people were still barking left and right regarding the steal, inbounds, out of bounds, what's the call. Hey, at the end of the day, again, I disagreed with the call.
I know what you're going to say here. This is, you remain consistent.
Well, I don't think they got the call right. Here's the play. You know, the question is whether or not involuntary or voluntary push out is the question. You have to make the call on whether or not the Boston College player right there is, did he get pushed out? If he did, it's a legal play. If he wasn't pushed out, it's an illegal touch. Regardless, NC State has a chance at the end of this game. And their last possession, quite frankly, went nowhere. I didn't even know it was.
That's been one of the biggest head-scratchers for me in this past week is the in-game situation and execution, lack thereof. I mean, in these opportunities, it's winning time. This is stuff you practice. This is repetition. This is the part that's packaged and presented, and you should just go through it because you practice it so many times, and yet you see these teams at the end of games dribble, 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 go try and make a miracle happen or take a poor shot, a low percentage one. I've struggled with that in watching some of these close finishes this season.
That's why I thought the Virginia ending was so – I mean, it was a great executed, perfectly executed play for the win. NC State's last possession last night, I can't even tell you what it was.
No.
That was just one of those things, okay, go make a play, and then, hey, somebody's got to make a three to tie this thing.
But when you go back and you look at what comes down to point guard play, Kihei Clark gets into that paint, gets the defense to command, or he demands that attention from that defense by dribbling into that paint underneath the basket. Then he swings it to Walton 10 side. Leaky Black is then coming with momentum, gets him up in the air, one dribble, clean look. It starts with the read and making the play that leads to the play with your point guard. Kihei Clark, yeah, he had 5 turnovers in that game versus Carolina, but 9 assists. And those are the big-time plays you need.
And getting back to NC State, while last night was certainly disappointing and did not help the cause, the good news is there's still 3 opportunities, and that's Duke twice, Florida State. But the point is it puts even more pressure now on the fact that you have to win at least one of those 3. Guaranteed must win. You have to do it because that game last night was one that you expected to win. If you're an NCAA tournament team, you expect to win that game. And I'm not taking anything from BC. They're playing their tails off, right? And they're at home. But for the Wolfpack, for Syracuse, this was a tough weekend.
Well, you better take better care of the basketball if you're NC State. 16 turnovers. You better shoot it better than 2 of 19 from the three-point line. And you're talking about three potential opportunities to win against two very deep teams.
Yep.
When you're only playing two guys off the bench right now. So you're really going to be tested in those matchups. NC State is a team, you expect them to win this game, then they don't. So maybe going into these that you don't expect them to win, maybe they do. They're getting enough out of those that inside game, at least in this matchup versus Boston College, and it was Markel Johnson. Your star has to be a star down the stretch.
The glob is the glob.
Globbing.
Man, that's what it is. I mean, you can't spin this any other way. We know who the top four are, but 5 to 12, hey, on a given Saturday night, on a given Tuesday night, a given Wednesday, not a whole lot of difference.
Boston College's night pack. I mean, four guys in double figures. Great balance from that team, and the best guard on the floor is Derek Thornton.
All right, let me give you a little best of the weekend. We compile a list, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend, but we're going to start on the positive side, the best of. We kind of let off the show with it today. Clemson wins their second game this year against an AP top five team. And, man, you know, the Tigers have been really, really good at home.
Yeah, and it's just fun to watch a college environment like that, where the underdog comes ready to play and knocks off one of the top teams in the country, who's reeling a little bit without question after that Georgia Tech loss. But the crowd was locked in. It was a Saturday afternoon. The team was clearly fueled by all that, making shots, guarding, winning 50-50 basketballs. And then you punctuate the whole thing, Pac, just the way I like it, with a court storm. If it feels right, go ahead and do it. Don't worry about the pundits. Your college kids living your best life. And maybe had a little bit of a buzz. I don't know. I don't know.
On a Saturday afternoon in Tiger Town.
Safe to say. What was the young Pac? Was the young Pac down like that?
I don't know if I'd have been in the middle of that, but I might have been somewhere close.
It was a great environment, man. That was the best to me of the weekend, because that's what college athletics are all about.
First time in 40 years Clemson's gone against and won two AP top five games.
It's crazy.
Go baseball next. One of the good dudes in the sport, Elliot Avent, wins his 1,100th game, NC State baseball.
And that's 1,100 games.
Yeah, that's it. Guess what? It is baseball season. We'll talk some baseball later on in the show. But Elliot's one of the good dudes, and happy for his success. And the Pack should be really, really good. The league should be really, really good.
Yeah, that was a little sweep action over James Madison, getting it done. I like that.
All right, our next one's going to go back to a play we've actually talked about already, and that is a late game situation. You got to score to at least tie, win the game. Virginia, North Carolina, and Chapel Hill. Tony Bennett draws up a brilliant play, and again, the execution was right on the money.
Yeah, Kia Clark's able to beat Cole Anthony. Then everything is chaotic defensively. Disruption there. Wilton Tensai's so cool, the sheep count him when they sleep. Big time play from him to get Leaky Black up in the air. Don't know why Leaky's coming at him so recklessly there, but great composure, execution, and delivering the final blow. And that was a very animated Coach Bennett on the sidelines.
And I was going to point that out. It just goes to show you how important a game that was for Virginia. And, hey, you can tell me North Carolina's in last place. They had their hands full, and they needed it. Much like we're talking about NC State, needed it last night with BC. Syracuse needed it at Florida State. Virginia understood the importance of that shot.
And let's not forget, it's easy to with the year that Virginia's had, but that's the reigning national champ.
That's right.
And there's guys on that team that played roles in the national championship game. And the guy who delivered the pass to win that game was the guy who started as a sophomore in that game, as a freshman in that game for Virginia, and Kihei Clark. Now a sophomore tasked with being a fifth-year guy leading this team and being asked to do as much as he is, but very disciplined, very calm in the moment, get you what you need. And that's been Kihei Clark, despite the turnovers, you know, some missed shots, some underwhelming performances. When you need him, he's been there for Coach Bennett.
The other side of the state had some love. We mentioned the Hokies knocking off Pittsburgh. They joined the list this week. First win since January 22nd, and, man, Virginia Tech just need to feel what it's like to win again.
Yeah, and what it's like to make some shots. What I like is Landers Nolly. Look, the points, there wasn't a ton of them. But look how he got after it on a backboard and sharing it with six assists, even defensively with a pair of steals. Again, a freshman, another one of those guys that makes you believe that the future is bright, but they got back to banging down threes and making that three-point line their friend with 12 of them, and that'll always put Virginia Tech in the game with how well they shoot it and space you out.
Yep, no question about that. One of our Barker Bite questions last week involved men's lacrosse, about what kind of weekend the ACC was going to have, and there was one of us here at the table that thought they'd win them every single one. Well, guess what? I was right. Men's lacrosse goes 5-0 this weekend, including Duke knocking off Denver, which was a big deal. So men's lacrosse gets some love from us from having a really solid weekend. Again, the league's out of sight, but 5-up, 5-down on the men's side this weekend.
Gotta love it. I mean, this is a conference. We talk about it being a conference of champions as of late. You gotta feel really good about the potential for one of these teams to hang a banner this year.
I think
so
too.
Deep.
Men's
so
and women's. Yes. Oh, both sides. Really, yes. Really good. One of the guys that's got to get some love today, too, is Mr. Cool down there in Tallahassee. Leonard Hamilton, 70-something going on, 30-something. Well, what he is also going on is number 5 of the all-time wins list in the ACC. Congrats to Leonard Hamilton. As we keep talking about, they don't have a really good team. They got a really good program.
Really good program, and the vision he had has started to come to real fruition there in terms of, I'm not going to always get a ton of McDonald's All-Americans on this roster. I'm not going to get the most elite, although he does get some of those, see Patrick Williams. But what I'm going to get is 10 guys who are all very, very good. And what is so unique about that pack is, in today's world, if you're only playing 15 minutes a game, coach is an idiot and I'm transferring.
Right.
These are 10 guys who could go start anywhere in the country and are perfectly okay with the system because they know that it allows them to shine. Look at Capengelly, who came off the bench last year as a sixth man who's in the NBA. So they see that the formula works. You're going to win a lot of games. You're going to play for a great guy who looks stern on the sidelines, but is as friendly and charismatic and has as strong a bond with his players as any coach in the country. It's a special place. It's a special program. It's a very special man in Coach Hamilton.
No doubt. He's getting the job done. He passes the legendary Bobby Cremins for the 5 spot on that list. So congratulations to Leonard Hamilton. All right, quick break. When we come back, we'll switch gears again on you. Accounting.
Oh, no. Are we doing it?
Yeah. Yep.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do it.
I wonder how different our lists are going to be here.
Well, you're getting ready to find out.
We'll agree on 1-3, probably. I don't know after that, my friend.
I think the top 4 are safe. But after that, it is anybody's guess. We will try it. Take all the sharp objects out of the room. Accounting is next, right here on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham from the basement. Jordan Cornett filling in for Wes. Of course, was on assignment last night up in Chestnut Hill as BC knocked off NC State. He'll be back tomorrow. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program.
Will he be on time?
I would normally say
too
yes.
Too soon for that?
But it might be too soon for that. After
consummate
his little,
professional. I had to bust him a little bit.
A little tardiness last week. Comes rolling in here about 5-10 minutes late. No big deal. We got that covered.
Can you blame it on traffic? I mean, it's not early in the morning.
No,
you can't blame it on traffic.
No.
What's the excuse?
No, there are no excuses. I mean, he's 5 minutes down the street. He's got 2 lights and a Starbucks in between in all likelihood, or a Bojangles would be good to go.
Hard to be mad at that man.
No. Everything's good. All right, before we get cranked up and try to do this accounting.
I'm just trying to stall. I really don't want to do this.
Yeah, you do.
I'm trying to stall.
Because there are no right or wrong answers here. You just go with the flow. Just go with it.
Yeah.
And it's so fluid. I mean, hey, it'll change tonight in all likelihood.
I mean, you've had to do this from football through basketball.
We do it. We just do it.
You just got to head down and ride through the meat of it.
People get mad, and it's like, hey, man, deal with it. You know, you can't get mad at us until you try it yourself.
Social media, Twitter never gets mad.
Oh,
that's not what Twitter
is. It's all
knows.
Good. Before, though, get started with accounting, happy birthday wishes to 2 all-time, I mean all-time greats.
Couple goats.
Jim Brown, Michael Jordan.
Could argue the best to ever do it in both their sports.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, easily argue. I mean, yeah. I would say both are the best.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you'd have to work hard to find otherwise.
Detractors there. Maybe in football you can make an argument. In basketball, there is no argument.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So, happy birthday to those dudes. All right, let's do it. Accounting. Want me to lead?
Please.
Here we go. Top four, I think, are pretty solid, to be honest with you, whatever order you want to put them in. Duke's number one, though, this week after Louisville's 0-4 last week. Got the Noles bumped up. Louisville drops to 3. Virginia's in the 4 spot. I feel comfortable with those 4. Now, here's where the arguments start. I really thought about putting my alma mater at the 5 spot.
I don't know how you couldn't.
I mean, I really thought about it. And the only reason I say that is because, hey, have you beaten Duke? Clemson has. Have you beaten Louisville? Clemson has. I mean, what are we doing here? So they split. NC State, Clemson split. To me, this is a flip-flop. Do whatever you want with. Syracuse, golly, again, keep going back to that Florida State game. They had a golden opportunity up 3 or 4 late. You got to win that thing. BC gets a bump with their win last night. They've been playing good basketball. They've been giving people a hard time. Notre Dame, despite what happened to them in Durham, I still think the Irish at home are a headache for people. Like you mentioned, Jordan, they can shoot. The Jackets had a pretty good week. They're at 10 again. The Glob from 5 through 12 is whatever you want. The Hokies are at 11 only because, hey, they finally won a game for the first time since January 22nd. Pitt had a very disappointing week. They get smoked at home by Clemson. Did not play necessarily very well on the road at Virginia Tech. So they drop.
I don't know if you're giving Miami enough respect there at 13.
I like where they're going. Okay. They're finally getting healthy. And sure. I think that they can really actually make some noise in the Glob moving forward. Wake Forest is 14 only because they beat North Carolina Drum a week ago. The Heels stay dead last. So there you go.
Duke at 1, North Carolina at 15. A lot of happy Duke fans out there.
I tell you what.
Right now.
If you would have asked me that before the season started, that one shade of blue would be at the top, another shade of blue would be at the bottom, I'd say you're out of your mind.
Yeah. No, and if you projected that, I would question the ability for this guy to be on television.
You're right. Exactly right. What sport are you – you're not talking about men's basketball. What sport are you talking about?
It's incredible. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at my accounting list right here. And
first of all, the photo is out of sight.
That's a really good photo.
Outstanding.
I don't think I could take a better picture than that. That is going to be used a lot.
That's a man with confidence, suave.
A little bit of cleavage going on with the shirt. I'm actually distracted looking at my picture.
That's pretty good.
I wish we could take that down. Josh Brooksy, can we do that? All right, well, let's go to number one here. Obviously, it's got to be Duke. I mean, 530-point wins in conference, a program record there, has showed when this team is on, watch out. Florida State is just a notch below them. Very, very close in terms of what Florida State brings defensively, their depth. To win a game like that versus Syracuse without Devin Vassell speaks to how deep they go. Louisville at 3, simply because 4 is that far away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a more capable team, with how disappointed I am this past week with what Louisville's done, I wish I could put them lower.
And of course, Virginia played Louisville tough a week ago.
True.
And Louisville had to respond, and they did.
Wilton Tensai went off for 27 in that game. He was the deciding factor to keep them into it. Ultimately, Louisville got it done. That's what you would have liked to see Louisville do in the games this week. They did not. I still believe Louisville has a real chance to win a national championship because there is nobody as high on Coach Chris Mack and his ability than I am. Louisville faithful got to be hoping that this is not going to be deja vu from last season where you lost 8 of 10 after that Duke meltdown. We'll have to see what happens there. I've got great faith it won't. Virginia at 4, doing enough to stay there. We can all agree with 1 through 4 right there. Clemson at 5. They got hot at Pitt. Knocked down 13 threes out of 22 in that game. Turn around and perform how they did versus Louisville. Wow. Sure, you could say Louisville lost that game, but I'm telling you, as a guy who called it, being there on the sidelines, Clemson went out there and dictated what type of game that was going to be for 40 minutes. It was impressive to watch. Clemson would be on a 3-game win streak if Amir Sims was healthy in that Notre Dame game, a game they lost by 2 possessions. Clemson's resume of wins is impressive. Fortunately, those losses have them not even thinking tournament right now. It's a real shot, though, that they could be 500 in this conference. I think Clemson's 5 right now, and to me, that seems obvious after this week, and that's crazy. NC State, the letdown. Syracuse was in it but couldn't get it done. That would have probably had them at 5. Georgia Tech has an impressive starting 5. Their first 5 are a really good 5. I really like Georgia Tech. Miami is a team I have a 10th as opposed to your 13th because I think now that they have a little bit more health, I think you're going to see them do some things that maybe weren't expected of them. So that's kind of how I have. And then Wake Forest and North Carolina, 14 and 15. Notre Dame is a team. Look, it was a very lopsided loss to Duke. But for a team that's been there, close to it, you really want that Virginia win. So it's been a tough week for them, but they still have a chance to maybe play themselves back into this thing.
Right, we both have Notre Dame 9. You got Georgia Tech 8. I got them 10. Again, the glob's the glob.
The glob's the glob. And it's a half-game separation, really, in all of those.
And you know, you mentioned Miami, right? You've got them 10. I've got them 13. Miami, and I think we have Chris Likes on the show tomorrow. But Miami's one of those teams. Now that they're healthy, they can make some noise down the stretch here. They could be the one team in the glob that could really make a jump, in my opinion.
And that's how I kind of approached the glob when we were doing this is,
you have to.
Let's think Greensboro. Who would those top three, four teams want to be facing? And that's the order I kind of looked at the rest because none of those teams delivered this week. The bubble that coveted five spot to be the fifth team in the tournament, not one team took the bull by the horns and said, we're going to earn a spot into this tournament.
Well, you thought NC State might have when they went on the road at Syracuse. Now, again, that was a weird game. Elijah Hughes goes with the injury early, plays 3 minutes, then score. State made plays down the stretch to win after Syracuse had a lead.
They made plays. Close. They made plays.
Right, and here's Syracuse again. Has a lead at Florida State late. Couldn't close. To me, they were the one team this weekend. Really this week that really had it right there. Syracuse had NC State at home. Couldn't close. They had Florida State on the road with the lead late. Couldn't close. They may look back at those two games this week and go, man. It's right but, there.
And that's the frustrating part, Pac, is because when you say you're right there, your feature guy, one of them, Elijah Hughes is the star. But one of your other feature guys, Buddy Boeheim, goes scoreless. It's crushing for you.
Yep.
You just can't have moments like that. That's why you look at Jordan Ward and say, come on, man. This is playing for a one or two seed. We need momentum going into March, not faltering. Jordan Wara is quiet. Buddy Boeheim is quiet. These are spotlight feature guys not delivering for their teams in paramount moments, and that's what has me a little bit frustrated.
All right, speaking of, we will go back to Louisville and Jordan Wara, and who is the ACC Player of the Year? We've got 3 weeks to figure it out. I thought Jordan Wara had a little inside track, but last week was a disaster.
Yeah, forgettable.
So we will break it all down. We'll take your calls, too. Got Jordan Cornett filling in for West Durham. It's Packer and Durham here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, and you guys on SiriusXM Channel 371.